We're in a series called Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. We've talked about it. We've sung the song. We've done a bunch. Today's message a little bit different. Let's check it out. Amazing Grace. And Roger the Dodger Johnson, he uses this big old screen, helps me. So everything you see, if it's your first time, it'll be on this big screen. You'll see the scriptures and you'll say them with us along the way. It'll get inside of you and it'll help you. Does for me. The grace of Jesus is the title of my sermon. Let's say it out loud. The grace of, one more time, the grace of, it's not your grace. Grace of Gary. The grace of the church. It's the grace of Jesus. Any graciousness we have is because of Him. Amen? But we don't need to get things backwards. And the church has got it backwards. And that's been my series. I know it's been a little tough on some of you. But you didn't work your way to get Him to love you. See, that's what's wrong with us. We're screwed up. We're that way in our relationships. Nobody loves me. If I'll be better, I'll be loved. Well, that ain't how He operates. He made you in His likeness, in His image. He loves a snot out of you. And He came for you and me. And this week is a big love story. And I'd like to start it right now. The grace of Jesus. Some scriptures. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Say it with me. For he shall save his people from their sins. One of my favorite scriptures. It's sad that prosperity teachers has taken this verse and perverted it. One of the greatest scriptures in your Bible. Say it out loud with me. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. A brother of mine, our church, his daughter just got married over in India. Yeah. Trevor and his family. And they just got back from India. He prayed with me in the truck this morning. He just can't get over all the poor people, the poverty. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. We shouldn't use a great verse like that and turn it into a get rich quick scheme. Did you hear me? We've been made rich because you're not going to die and burn in hell because of Jesus. You're going to walk on streets of gold. That's just asphalt up there. You're going to live forever. That's called true riches. Can we thank the Lord for that this morning? Get it down. Get it straight. If you've been screwed up on that kind of teaching, you need to get back to the grace of Almighty God. It's incredible, man. Keep going. Now, here's one of my favorite scriptures. And I took liberty today. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And it says the Word was with God and the Word was God. It's a whole passage about Jesus. So we put Jesus' name in there. I'd like to read that to you. You just watch it. In the beginning was the Word. And that is who? Uh-oh. That's Jesus. Okay, it's good. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Jesus. Without Jesus was not anything made that was made. If you think you're a works kind of person, I can work my way to heaven, try some of this stuff. All things were made by Jesus. Without Jesus was not anything made that was made. In Jesus was life. And the life was the light of men. And Jesus shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was Jesus, which lights every man that comes into the world. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. Would you say verse number 12, one of my favorites? But as many as received Jesus, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on Jesus' name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And Jesus was made flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld Jesus' glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. Say it with me. Full of. And. Amen. What incredible scriptures, huh? What a way to start our Palm Sunday. The title of my message again is The Grace of Jesus. The grace of Jesus. And of Jesus' fullness have we all received. And say that part with me. And grace for grace. Now the law, good works, I can do it, I'm good. The law was given by Moses. Say that last part with me. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Let's talk about it this morning. Y'all all right so far? Good scriptures, man. I love that. I just sit there and read the Bible with you. Good stuff. Good for my heart. The grace of Jesus. I want to talk about it looking at today, Palm Sunday, this week. Before the cross, these few days right now, the grace of Jesus. If you have a phone, you might want to take a screenshot of this. It's a good one. It's worth having. It's worth keeping. Here it is. Jesus Christ ran the race, and he won the race for the human race. That's grace. Let's say that together. Jesus Christ ran the race and won the race for the human race. That's grace. Well, what is grace, Pastor Gary? I don't understand what grace is. Say it with me again. Jesus Christ ran the race and won the race for the human race. That's grace. Got it? Let's talk about it. Let's look at that. Let's look at that this week. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the what? Finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he's where? He's what? Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Grace, the grace of Jesus Christ. The grace of Jesus Christ. What does grace, the grace of Jesus, look like? Just a couple of thoughts today. Now, they're not highfalutin thoughts. These are things that I've gleaned, that I've seen. When I think of the grace of Jesus, when I think of this week, I think of those three words. Say them with me. Jesus was. How much better the church would do if we were humble people? Yes or no? I'm better than you. That's not very gracious. Unless you do it our way, you're not going. What's that about? How about we follow him? Do it his way. He was humble. Jesus was humble. That verse that from Hebrews says what was that verse again? I know what it is. 12:1 and 12:2. He ran with joy. He endured the cross, and now he sat down at the God the Father. But Jesus ran with joy. He was humble. He was humble. What he did because he wanted to do it. Do you remember at the temple, he's 12? And they were confounded by the way he was talking and what have you. And his parents left. He won't with them. They got upset about it. Why wouldn't they? I guess they would. And it was a big, big feast. Thousands and thousands of people. But he said, did you not know I must be about my what? My father's business. Even at 12, he had something. He had a passion. He knew what he was doing. He was born to die. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He ran this race with joy. How much better that would look to the world if that's what we did. Amen? He ran with joy. And also, Jesus had heart. So he was humble. But Jesus had heart also. By that I mean, Not only did he run the race with joy and humility, but Jesus ran the race with heart. When I think of heart, I think of down deep. The Bible says, if you'll believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, confess him with your mouth and believe in your what? Heart. I believe that's down deep. To give something your what? Heart. Or to put your what into it? Your heart into it. Jesus had heart. He endured the cross. So he ran the race when he was here. And he did it with joy. So much so little children would run up to him. Want to hang out with him. Of course, his disciples said, get, go on, get. But he loved it. He loved it. He loved people. He loved sinful people. Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. What? The prostitute woman that came and washed his feet with her tears. Remember? Crazy disciples that he picked to be his buddies. He had a good time. He loved people. He ran with joy. He was humble. And they loved him because of that. He was different. Didn't come across like, I'm better than you. Pharisees would ring the bells and things like that when they're getting close. Ring-a-ring-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. I'm getting close. They would pray on street corners, remember? To be seen of men. Jesus was a breath of some serious fresh air. He ran with joy. We can learn a whole lot if we spent more time learning about him. He ran his race with joy. He was humble, but he had heart. When it came to hard things, he plowed right through it. He set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem, knowing the whole time the things they're going to do to him. But he had heart. He had guts. Say that out loud. He had what? Guts. We admire people with guts, don't we? Yes or no? Remember John Wayne back in the day? The Duke. Well, that was just a movie star. This is the real deal. So Jesus was humble and Jesus had heart. And for the next few minutes, I want to talk about it. And Jesus did what? He what? He changed history. He sat down at the right hand of God the Father. So Hebrews tells us, that verse tells us he ran with joy, with joy and patience, the race that was set before him. And he endured the cross, and now he's what? He's sat down. So Jesus was humble, Jesus had heart, and Jesus changed history. I'd like to hang this last part of the message on that. Jesus Christ is the author and he's the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus ran the race. He won the race for the human race. That's what? He did it with humility. He did it with heart. And now it's in the books, baby. It's history. And you can say what you want. You can make up some other way. There is no other way for a man or a woman to be saved. You must come through Jesus Christ. It's his grace. It's not your favorite guy that's made up some new way. And I have people come to me quite often. Well, why is your way the right way? My way is the right way because that's what the Word of God says. Now, if you don't want to believe the Bible, then just go ahead and be man or woman enough to say, I don't believe the Bible. But don't take God's word and try to twist it to make it fit some cuckoo religion you got. Y'all hear me or not? Don't do that. Write your own book then. Have your own book. But don't take this one and pervert it to fit your needs. Is that too hard on you? Come on. The grace of Jesus. So let's examine it. Jesus was humble. Are you ready? On Palm Sunday, he was humble. He was humble on Palm Sunday. He rode in on a what? Now, in the book of Revelation, he's on what kind of horse later? He's on a white horse. And he's got it on his vesture, on his thigh. King of what? Kings and Lord of Lords. That's not how he came in. That's not how he came in. Now, that's how he'll come again. That's not how he came in. He came in on a donkey. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast of Passover, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees. They went forth to meet him. They cried, Hosanna! Which means save now. Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he found a young ass, a donkey, sat thereon, as it's written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king comes, sitting on a ass's colt or a donkey." This is how Jesus came in. You know, a donkey would be beneath most of us. That's your Savior. Imagine that, the big old crowd coming in on old mealy donkey. He was humble. How about the Last Supper? That happened this week. So Palm Sunday, that's what we're looking at this week, the Last Supper. Jesus fed his disciples. He was humble. Had supper with them. Let's have supper. Going out to eat with folks and loving on people, that's a good thing. That's why I'm the size I am. I love it. As they were eating, look at Jesus. He took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup and gave thanks. He drank it, gave it to them and said, "Drink all of that. Drink all of that. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I won't drink this henceforth, this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you one day in my Father's kingdom." Do you see his humility or not? I don't know about you, but if I was going to cross and I was going to be crucified, I don't think I'd be throwing a supper party for folks. What a Savior we have. What a gracious God we have. He was humble. Also, he washed their feet. It appears it happened at this supper. Back in John 13, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come, that he should part out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the what? Unto the end. He rises from what? From supper. He lays aside his garments. He takes a towel, girds himself, and after that he pours water into a basin. He begins to wash the nastiest stinking feet on the planet. Fishermen, disciples' feet, feet that have been walking them dusty roads. They didn't have the fancy shoes we got. So he washed their feet. Jesus, the Son of the living God, before he's going to the cross, washes their feet. Are you seeing humility or am I just making this up? And he wiped them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He was humble. How about in the garden? That's what's happening. Palm Sunday, the Last Supper, the garden. He was humble in the garden. He prayed in the garden. He struggled in the garden. He submitted himself completely to his Father's will in the garden. The grace of Jesus. Then comes Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. By the way, I keep saying these are real places. I've been there multiple times. I'm just trying to hammer you in case there's that doubt in your mind that, that place isn't real. The Bible's made up. Because that's what Satan wants us to believe. Real places. They say some of the olive trees might be 2,000 years old. I don't know if they are or not, but I know they look old. Then comes Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane and says to the disciples, "You sit here while I go and pray yonder." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and they began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he says unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here, and would y'all watch with me and pray?" He went a little further. He fell on his face. And he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So we see his humility. Is that a fair estimation of Jesus, yes or no? Was Jesus humble? Was Jesus arrogant? No. Can the church come across as arrogant, yes or no? Yes. Is that opposite of Jesus? Yes. Got the message this morning? Clark, why do you take time on Palm Sunday and all this? This is a perfect opportunity for me to get us back into shape and to get us focused like we need to focus. It's a good message for me this week. The grace of Jesus. So he was humble, according to Hebrews. We saw that. Humble. He ran this race with joy. Seemed to have a good time with folks. But he had heart. He had heart. Now you got heart when things are hard. You got heart when things are hard. We need to take heart when things are difficult. Amen or oh me? Got to dig deep. How many have had some hard times where you've had to take some serious heart in your life? Or it was hard, Pastor. It was hard. But you took heart. Amen? You were brave. You were brave. You were brave. You made it through it. Some of you are going through some hard times right now, and you're having to really take heart. You're having to really dig deep. You're having to be really brave in whatever it is you're facing right now. Jesus knew what it was to be brave, to take heart. On Palm Sunday, he took heart. What do you mean? Well, he endured the cheers of "Save now! Save now!" They wanted him to kick Rome's butt. They want him to bring the kingdom in right now. And he had to dig deep because you know what? He'd have probably liked that too. He listened to that all the time, knowing that very soon these same people, "Save now! Hosanna!" would turn on him. Turn on him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Now that takes heart. When you know the very people that are cheering you on are stabbing you in the back. Now that's a man. Y'all hear me or not? He took heart. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, we read it already, they took their palm branches. They cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel." He had to take heart on Palm Sunday. Keep going. How about the Last Supper? He took heart. He ate with his disciples, having dinner with them, loving on them, all the while knowing very soon one would betray him. Supper's pretty rough. Supper's pretty rough. When you throw in the supper and knowing that one in that supper is going to leave that supper and betray you and have you crucified. That's sort of a downer to a supper. But not only that, that all the rest of them at the supper would do what? Out loud, all the rest of them would do what? That takes some heart not to pop somebody in the mouth. Y'all hear me or not? But that wasn't his purpose. His purpose was you and me and them. That was the plan of God before the foundation of the world. And he took heart. Don't forget, though, he was still flesh. He was still flesh. But he's God, made it easy. See there, you're just minimizing Jesus. That's why you don't fall in love with him. This will cause you to fall in love with him right here. The Last Supper, when the evening was come, he sat down with them, they ate, etc. He said, "One of you are going to betray me." He brought it out. Matter of fact, the disciples were sorrowful. They began, every one of them, "Is it me?" That sort of probably killed the supper for a while. What do you think? Then said Jesus unto them, "All you shall be offended. All of you will be offended this night It's written, I'll smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Every one of you will be offended. Every one of you will be ashamed of me. Every one of you will turn on me. Every one of you will run from me. Have you ever thought that Peter wasn't just really covering his tail when he denied Christ? He wasn't just covering his tail. He wasn't just trying to stay alive. Have you ever thought that maybe Peter was really offended and thought down deep, he really let me down. What an imposter. What a pathetic man I've been following for 3 years. That word offended is a big word. Boy, it took some heart. Y'all got awful quiet because that's what happens when you take heart. The mouth stops running and the blood starts pumping stronger. Peter said, though I would die with you, I won't ever deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing. We know different, don't we? Yes or no? We got to finish. Jesus pressed on even while his disciples slept in the garden. In the garden. Then comes he to his disciples, says unto them, sleep on. He had to take heart. He's the only one left praying. Everybody else sleeping. Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he's at hand that doth betray me. Jesus accepted Judas's kiss in the garden. Boy, that takes heart, don't it? And he called him what? And he meant it from his heart. And while he yet spoke, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him was given a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as him. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore are you come? Then came they, and they laid hands on Jesus, and they took him. Jesus willingly went on alone. Alone. Jesus was humble, but Jesus had what? Heart. In the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple. You didn't lay a hand on me then. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Say that last part with me, please. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled.